Hi, this is John Udell, and today's podcast is an excerpt from InfoWorld's SOA conference, which was held on May 5th in San Jose. The audio recordings from that event unfortunately weren't good enough to be used on IT Conversations, but I've patched together this one excerpt because it was just so entertaining as well as enlightening. The session was called Building Applications on the SOA Platform, and the panelists were Tim Ewald from Mindreef, Edwin Kotobakchian from Oracle, John Shuchuk from Microsoft, and Andre O'Toole from Cape Clear. The question I put to the panel in this segment was, if web services are supposed to be loosely coupled and asynchronous, how are we going to enable programmers to deal with that application model? First up was John Shuchuk.
We should probably take a step back here and look at the large-scale applications that people have been doing, whether it be in the financial community, on the web, in many of these cases. If you were to look across all of these examples, I think you'd see that the vast majority of successful applications are built on an event-driven, message-oriented model. I think one of the most successful paradigms that's been invented is the Berkeley socket model. Berkeley socket model is at the basis of many, many of our applications. Now, it gets transformed through layers of software into more sophisticated dispatch models. But that approach of messages come in, code gets executed in response to that, processes get spun up.
Here's Andre O'Toole.
Yeah, which is all synchronous.
No.
It isn't. The core of, I did TCP, well, I did socket programming, the core select statement. You do select, you wait for an
event. Let's take SAP as a great example. The model is, a message comes in, we dehydrate some state, we do our processing on it, we do a series of transactions, we create new messages, and we transmit those things. While we may be relatively synchronous within our processing, we can do many of those things in parallel. It's exactly the same model that we found on the web, and it's scalable.
But the web, again, is incredible. HTTP is a synchronous protocol. I've put it to you. And you create sessions, which are essentially long-running synchronous entities.
So actually, you don't. What you do is you use cookies.
So, cookies, yeah, and cookies are things that give us the impression.
So are you arguing that the web is not a scalable model?
The web isn't scalable. It's largely based on it as it actually happens, asynchronous protocol. It's TCP/IP at the bottom, and it isn't UDP.
Agreed, but
you open up connections,
so
and most people turn off those, including a DCOM. You turn off the keep alives.
Yeah, but the lifetime of these things may be relatively small.
It's relatively small.
And from that perspective, these things look like asynchronous processing. And that model is the model that's been...
But that's very different.
So, I put it to you. What is your proposal?
Touche. You got yourself back there. But my point
what's
is...
What's your alternative?
My point is that we... Well, there are several points that you're raising. And one is that we should... somewhat undo the terminology we're dealing with. When I think about asynchronous messaging and stuff like that, I'm really thinking things like rendezvous. And if you talk to most people and you talk about MOM style processing, it has a very concrete meaning of very asynchronous, unconnected processes, which is quite different from the web model. And anyway, my point was that the place where you want to go with SOA is to model, I would argue that most of business processes follow some kind of flow, which although they're short-lived, they're generally kind of synchronous things that are causally related, and you can spot those that causality. And there's a process, which is people.
Hold on, even if you do what you're proposing, what's the model that you're going to use? A message is going to come into a machine. You're going to start up a new process.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to run it synchronously.
You're going to kick off a BPEL thing, and a BPEL thing isn't synchronous.
There aren't BPEL things on machines. There's things called processes. There's things called threads on a machine.
Here's Edwin Kotobakchian.
What are you going to do? I don't care about that. See, the beauty is that there's an abstraction.
I know, but this is essential.
That's the beauty. That's the beauty is there's only 5% of people that understand asynchronous programming.
Yeah.
Even the VB style, and those are really rare, and there are a lot of errors. So the idea is to create abstractions where today when you click on the browser, things happen. You don't know that there's a script engine, a network engine. It just happens. So you just need to find the right abstraction. And I'm not saying Beeple does everything, but Beeple does the slow, long-running,
well,
asynchronous.
I happen to, you know, here at Microsoft, we happen to have one of the leading Beeple implementations. We were one of the founders on this. And what we found is that the number of people who can use that model to go construct solutions is relatively small. Whereas when we go look at people building TIBCO, if you go look at most financial institutions, there's TIBCO out there, there's MQ series out there, and they all, I think arguably the most successful business application out there is SAP. They all use the following model, which is this event-driven...
It's a layer. I mean, again, if you look at TIBCO today, they have messaging. Messaging doesn't give you a programming model. It's the message-driven being is an event handler.
No, there is a programming model. It happens to be pretty low level.
No, but what I'm saying is all of them, if you look at basically TIBCO 5 years ago, the first thing they did was to create a synchronous processing model, process model. Then they went in with, in concert, bought an asynchronous process model. Then they went with staffware. The reason why they realized that is there's only 5% of people that can go and do high-level financial transaction type applications that understand MQ, that can handle exception handling, compensation, parallel processing, all these things. So they are successful. We're not saying at the very high end, every abstraction is successful.
It's totally true.
You go to Credit Suisse Boston, they have 900 services, they do a million transactions. The challenge is to say the skill set that only 5% of people can acquire and only very few applications can handle, look at this code, abstract out programming abstractions, and then say, okay, this code, it's really 90% the same if we put those knobs in there and we create those keywords and things like this. And if I elevate it up, I have an abstraction. And again, Beeple does not 100% of what you can program on, especially TIBCO is more published and subscribed, so a lot of it is not even processing.
Yeah.
It's just intercommunication.
It's just data distribution. I mean, you say TIBCO is big in finance, which is true, but 99% of it is just used for market data distribution.
Yeah.
It's stock price propagation. It's not, if people want to build transactional systems, which are the core of financial building things, they don't use TIBCO for that.
A lot of them use MQ series.
A lot of them use MQ, but if you look at the use of how they use MQ series, they don't even use it in an asynchronous way. They use it because of its properties of giving them guaranteed delivery.
Exactly.
But they don't actually do any asynchronous programming with it. They just say, here's the update to the mainframe, and I know that MQ's going to get it there. Bing, bing.
At this point, there's a question from the audience about the performance implications of synchronous versus asynchronous uses of web services.
Can I... Because I think I might
have an opinion on this one, Andre?
Yeah, and I introduced some of the confusion in our earlier conversation, which, some of which I regret. But anyway, the point is that web services supports both synchronous and it supports an RPC model and an asynchronous. And I actually, what we do, most of our customers deploy the asynchronous stuff because it's the document model of web services is a far more interesting model than the RPC model. The RPC model is kind of brain dead. But anyway, the performance is well addressed at this stage. Certainly, I'll speak for my product, because it was, everybody goes, Jesus, ASCII and HTTP, that must be dog slow. But the reality is you can engineer, you can build high, we build high performance ways out of that, and we do something like 35,000 transactions a second, which is, that's what RMI, in fact, we're faster than RMI in certain sectors.
For the data updates and so on, you certainly want to make sure that your models are asynchronous, but you're probably getting to the point that XML encoding tends to be relatively large, and people have argued that the largeness on the XML will prevent certain kinds of applications. Our experience has been that, to the contrary, it's surprising how many things you can actually do with a text-based model, and you get good interoperability. That being said, we think that there's opportunities for people to come up with tighter models. So there's been work in the industry. People talk about binary XML and so on. One of the challenges that you have in the binary XML space is that there's a lot of different trade-offs that tend to be application-specific. Sometimes people are trying to optimize for wire speed, wire size. Sometimes people are trying to optimize to reduce the processing load on servers or clients or even very tiny devices with limited memory. So getting exactly the right encoding in those scenarios can be a challenge. One of the great things about the work that the W3C did was they came up with this notion of the infoset. And the infoset is an abstract model associated with the SOAP message. And one of the things that the MTOM work that came recently out of the W3C described was that as long as the encoding is isomorphic to that infoset, you can have lots of different encodings. The key thing now is to make sure that the two sides are in agreement on that infoset. And if you can do that, you can really reduce the size of the underlying...
This is Tim Uwald.
And that any tool that's tracing or logging or forensically examining those messages can isomorphically get to text.
And I think that that's a critical aspect of the whole thing, which is, Microsoft's perspective is that we better keep that text model around for a long time because it is the thing that allows the tools to work and so on.
Another possibility is to do... is to zip. There's been some pretty interesting work on gzipping XML.
You have the answer to your question, which is you don't want to go synchronous. That's
right.
Why there is asynchronous. That's why basically the application blueprint has to evolve from synchronous to asynchronous, because you have applications that have different throughputs, and you can't wire them together in a synchronous way or you're just going to die. So you have to go asynchronous.
Andre argued earlier that the web model is more a connected synchronous thing, but you look at Amazon.com and I do a flurry of these connected synchronous things, but the overall process I'm running is completely asynchronous. Definitely a place for both. I don't think anyone's arguing that web services are inherently one or the other.
Yeah. Well, one of the interesting things that we've got on Indigo is not only do we have the transports that we use for connecting to other systems, but we envision that same programming model being used for inter-process communication. And we think that over time, there's no reason that model isn't as performant as the existing low-level operating system primitives for inter-process communication, which, by the way, for the most part, are all asynchronous models. And so that asynchronous model, we think, has scalability that goes all the way from the on-device model, which is the way, for example, hardware communicates off to disk drives, all the way up to the largest scale Amazon distributed data center type scenarios. The interesting thing is one abstraction seems to cover that entire space. And so in that regard, I think it ends up being a lot like TCP. TCP was a single abstraction that worked both in the small as well as in the large, and the industry as a whole moved to that because it had the power to cover such a wide space.
If you ask me to define the difference between synchronous and asynchronous communication models, I'd be hard-pressed to do it, and I used to worry about that. But after listening to these four experts debate the matter, I realize that it's kind of like the wave-particle duality in physics. Both perspectives are valid. They bleed into one another. We use them both at the same time, and we're never going to reduce it to a simple equation.